Blog Talk Radio.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot, oh my! It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Here are your Supernatural hosts, Patricia Baker and Becky Andreasen. Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of Supernatural Girls. I am your host, Patricia Baker, and I'm here with my co-host, the famous numerologist, Patricia Kirkman. Hi, Patricia.
Well, hello, Patricia. We're back to echoing today.
I know we are. Isn't that funny? I feel like I have a twin.
I love it.
I do, too.
So. You get to be the pretty one. I get to be the one that's got a problem.
No. You're too funny. Well, listen, we survived the snowstorm. You know, there was this huge prediction of all 3 feet of snow and 50-mile-an-hour winds. We got 4 inches. I'm happy.
That is fabulous. Absolutely
it is.
Fabulous. God is good. He's taking very good care of you.
You know, he really is, because they got hit on both sides of us. And the coast obviously got the worst in Massachusetts and Long Island. But even Worcester got 3 feet. So it just went on either side of the hill towns. And we usually get slammed, but thank goodness it missed us. I'm so happy. And I'm sitting here warm and comfortable. We've got a great show tonight. I'm so excited about our guest.
Oh, I am, too. It's going to be fabulous.
We have never had a trans medium on the show. And we tonight have Theo Castaritis. I love that name. It's just beautiful. And he's a powerful guy.
Mm-hmm. I was reading up on him, and my goodness gracious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sixth-generation psychic. My goodness. Running in the family for many generations. So you know there's some big power there. So I can't wait to see what he has to say about being a psychic and a trans medium. And he also has become proficient in tarot cards, psychometry, tea leaf reading, and Greek coffee reading, which I've never heard of that.
I was going to say the Greek coffee reading is what really intrigued me. Of course, I lived in Greece for a couple of years, so I'm
did
going,
you
aha.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
See, I still don't know everything about you, Patricia.
There's a lot more you will never find out.
It's just probably better that way. But isn't that interesting? But you lived in Greece for 2 years, and you knew about coffee readings, obviously, from living there.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Very cool
stuff.
Very interesting.
Yes. Oh, they have a knack. It's like a magic. That's why I'm very interested. I can't wait to listen to him this evening.
Oh, this is going to be a fascinating show, everybody. If you want a reading with Theo, please call in tonight. Or if you just have a question about the tools that he uses or about transmediumship or being psychic, the number to call in is 646-478-0828. And again, that's 646-478-0828. So tonight I wanted to share with everybody in our next newsletter, we're going to be sharing some footage that I just found out about, very compelling video that was taken this January, and it was taken down in Lettice Park, Florida, by someone who was canoeing some of the swamps there. He saw what he thought was a bear, and it wasn't a bear. So it first appeared where I saw it was on Above Top Secret, which is a site that's a wonderful site that contains a lot of interesting news. And the people that frequent that site, they can pick this stuff apart pretty good. But I got to tell you, so far everybody's coming back and saying that the way this this creature, being, whatever you want to say, this Bigfoot was moving, it really is authentic. So we're going to share that with our audience. Everybody who signed up in the newsletter will get the link for this in our coming newsletter. So make sure you signed up at supernaturalgirlswithaz.com. And we will be going back to doing book giveaways and other things, so make sure you're signed up. Our app, I'm told, is going to be coming out very soon, so you'll be able to get the app downloaded for free on iPhone and Android and iPad. So we're going to be coming to you more in a mobile sense. And it's also going to allow us to do more real-life chats with all of you, even throughout the week when we're not broadcasting live. So you'll be able to communicate with us, with other people in the community. It's just going to be so much fun. So I can't wait. I'm so excited, Patricia.
I am, too. I'm with you with not being able to wait. We've got to get these people moving along.
I know, and it'd be nice for everybody to talk to each other, too, in the community.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Now, you've been looking at some very famous transmediums numerologically, and now what did you find, and who were you looking at?
Well, I was looking at Leonore Piper. I found her very fascinating because her numbers are, she's very normal. She's missing different things. She's got her own karma to work with. But I found it very intriguing that she's extremely hard-headed, and she is overly sensitive. So if you take that into consideration, it's very interesting because she took a blow to the head, and it was after that that she started being able to see and feel things.
Oh, my.
So I found that very interesting.
Yeah.
But when it comes to details of things, she is so ultra-detailed. Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't think of a word that she blocks everything in, and it's got to be her way. And she accepts change only if it's absolutely perfect and she's looking into it. So that being said, when you take a look at how she proceeded with her clairvoyance in this lifetime, she and her husband didn't really speak a lot. She had her world and he had his.
Hmm.
And so it was very fascinating to see that there are major issues when it comes to relationships. So they actually seem to get together just simply to keep each other company.
Huh. How interesting.
We're married, that's it, do your own thing.
Now, she lived when? Was she in the 1800s or early 1900s?
Well, she was born in 1859.
Okay.
Yes. And so that being said, I think it was 56 that she passed away.
Oh, young. But she was a great medium. She was one of the foremost.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And a trans medium.
Everything about her was very interesting because she didn't, I'll use the phrase, she didn't take prisoners. She knew what she needed to do, but she was not pleased by her sudden notoriety. She liked, you know, to kind of stay back. Her husband wasn't pleased with any of the stories that were told about her, but finally she was introduced to some different aspects of this over the years, and the Society of Psycho Research were very interested in her, and she really had a lot to offer. But, you know, people are very, very fearful of the unknown. But some of the people that she was in spending time with and working with were the cream of the crop, shall we say.
Mm.
Very,
now, was
very
she, was she here in the United States or was she in the UK?
Well, she was from Boston.
Ah.
She was in Boston.
Wow. Well, and transmediumship was really big for a period of time, and then it kind of transformed into other things. But I can't wait to talk to Theo about what it's like to be a transmedium. But before we bring him on, just one more thing I wanted to ask you. We have tomorrow, being the 29th, almost the end of January, we're still in Mercury retrograde, God help us.
Oh, yes.
But what's tomorrow going to be like for us?
Well, tomorrow it's about our sensitivity. And we're in a universal 9 months, so it's about ending some things that we can't do much about. But the two deals with our sensitive side, and wanting to be people pleasers and to be there to make sure everybody else is taken care of. And so there's going to be a lot of that. But we're in a bridge between the 9 months that we're in and the 1 month that we're going into in February. So that bridge, even though it's a two where we're very sensitive, there's that pull of the one wanting to do it our way, my way type attitude that goes along with this. But it's going to be the next couple of days are kind of wrapping up things to let go of. So if you've got a bucket list of what to get rid of, for God's sakes, do it. You've got a couple of days to clear the deck, and it will make you feel so much better, because the 1 month is going to make us want to do things more direct. And if we don't get rid of these little things hanging on, we're going to not have a clear shot at what we really need.
Clean out those closets, everybody.
That's for sure. Sweep, get a big broom and sweep it clean.
Yeah, some big garbage bags. Get rid of all that stuff.
That's a truism.
Yes, get rid of it now. This is your big chance.
That's right. I'm looking at a lot of the things that I need to do myself, and I'm going, ooh, I'll get it. I'll get it done.
Got it. Get it. Get done now during Mercury retrograde. Be free of it all. So
that's for sure.
I know. Might as well make some good use out of that. So anyways, let's move now into talking with our fabulous guest tonight. Again, this is Theo Kasaridis. We are welcoming to the show. He's a sixth-generation psychic, comes from a long line of intuitives. He was born in Athens, Greece. He lives here now in the United States and has for many years. He has honed his natural abilities, and he's also been involved in several high-profile investigations. In Evansville, Vanderburg Paranormal, I guess, is one of the groups he works with. And he's become an integral part of that family. So he specializes in communicating with those who have crossed over and channeling messages from your spirit guides and angels. Theo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patricia. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So please, yes, tell us how you found out that you had these amazing gifts.
Well, it was very interesting. My first recollection, I was at least 4 years old, and I just remember seeing spirits and entities, you know, coming through walls, going outside in the backyard, coming through the wall, and I would just sit there staring at the wall. And my mom and grandma, being very sensitive themselves, would always just say, oh, that's so-and-so. Just say hi and let them go. They never blocked it. They never stopped me from saying, you know, oh, those things don't exist, it's imaginary friends or anything like that. So I was pretty well raised in a very open-minded family.
You were so lucky.
Yeah, that helped a lot. Because I know a lot of times, in a lot of cases, everybody that's discovering their psychic ability always had it shut off at a certain age.
Right.
Mine was never like that. My parents actually encompassed it.
Oh, how wonderful.
So they embraced your skills. Now, was it on your father's side of the family as well as your mother's?
It is. It was more prevalent on my mom's side than my dad's. My dad's side, from the research I've done and relatives that I talked to, it skipped 2-3 generations there, whereas with my mom's family, it was more consistent.
Now, did they teach you how to take this to the next level? Did they teach you about tarot cards? Did they instruct you at all with this?
They did later on with the cards. A lot of it was just looking at the images and just saying, okay, what do you see? What does this bring to mind with you? When I studied the tarot cards later on, I never picked up a book. And to this day, when I teach classes, I don't use the book until, you know, the very end of it, because I want everybody to sort of encompass what the cards mean to you rather than a book learning. So it's more of a personal thing. And like one card, let's say the Emperor for me, can have 10 different variations depending on who's sitting across the table from me and I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's never a one set answer, you know.
Well, yeah, I would imagine. I know, Patricia, you read, and I read also. We understand what you're saying. There are so many dimensions to the cards and the messages that they're sending out. And it's really up to the reader to be able to decipher it and present this accurately to the client.
Right. And when I read the cards, I don't create a barrier. I don't limit myself. I let spirit pretty well guide me, and whoever decides to step in sessions, you know, let them relay the messages. I'm just a vessel.
Mm-hmm. Now, being a trans medium, as I was saying earlier in the show, we have never had a trans medium on Supernatural Girls. So can you explain to everybody what is that and how do you work with that energy?
A trans medium is, in my case, I allow spirit with the help of my spirit guides and my what I call them, the council, to allow other energies to step in and actually use my physical body as their vessel to communicate. And it basically, it's like my consciousness just steps aside. And
so when that
it's
happens,
like somebody else enters me. Yeah.
When you step aside, where do you go?
I just stand beside myself, and I can actually see what's going on. I can't hear what's going on, but I can see when I'm outside my body. It's kind of like an out-of-body experience.
Oh.
And when the spirit comes in, of course, they use my vocals and everything, but the tone changes, my mannerisms change, my physical body changes. But when that spirit steps out and I step back in, I have no recollection of what has been said, what is going on, or anything. And usually I have an assistant there that writes and takes notes of everything that is said.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Is that similar to what Edgar Cayce did?
Very close to it, yes.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that is, it's just so exciting that you're able to do this and you can sit there, whatever, and watch what's going on. Gosh, I mean, people must really walk away with a deeper understanding of the spirit world after having a session with you.
Most of the time they do. Sometimes during sessions I don't fully go into trance. I do allow the spirit to sort of step in and step out. I don't allow them to take over as long. Usually my trance sessions, I've been known to have 3 or 4 energies step in and last at least 20 minutes or so, maybe longer. Mm-hmm. But when they leave and I re-enter my body, I'm so tired and you can just physically see I'm ready to drop, you know, ready to pass out.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
So
well, now, you work with the angelic realm. So are there any specific angels that you work with, or is it just whoever comes through?
There's, of course, Michael always comes through, and there's been Gabriel and so many. Most of the time, it's whoever needs to pass the message on. Again, I don't limit them. I don't say this is the only person I'm communicating. It's the one that's there for the person seeking the information.
And
I mean, I've had Raphael come through when I you know, was
and they all have their different
about their, health issues. Yeah,
they all have their different energy frames when they come through, right? You recognize
very much,
them.
Yes. Very much.
Now, please talk about the Greek coffee readings.
I'm glad
what
you brought
is that?
That
sounds so incredibly cool.
It's very similar to the tea leaf readings, and that's really what my mom and my grandmother taught me with the most. That was the first tool I ever experienced with. And basically what it is, the Greek coffee is very much like Turkish coffee, so it's not brewed. It's more of a boiled coffee.
Uh-huh.
And it's the size of an espresso shot. You know, so it's
and
very,
so,
very little coffee, but it's potent coffee.
Yes, it is.
And, of course, the client has to drink the coffee to get it red. Of course, I can cheat. You know, and people that don't like coffee can still get it just by putting their hands on it and putting their energy on the cup. That works as well. But when the client drinks the coffee, you basically swirl the grounds that's in the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And just like tea leaves, you turn the cup over and let it formulate and sit as a drive. And then when it's done, after several minutes or so, there's images and different things that stand out in it. It's like a pattern. It's a whole different language.
So it's another language, different from tarot cards, obviously, but it gives you great information, I would imagine. And it just sounds so fascinating. I mean, this is the first I've heard of Greek coffee readings, and I'm just fascinated by it.
Yeah. In Greek, they call it the phlizani, and that's how most people know it is there they're going to go get their phlizani done.
That is so wild. I love it.
One thing I like about the Greek coffee, it gives me timelines, especially when people are looking for time, because of the shape of the cup. It's like a sundial,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a clock. So it gives me a better reference to time.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. And that's a tough thing to work with, obviously,
yeah.
for obvious reasons.
Yes.
I mean, time is a tough one. So it sounds like the coffee readings are they give you something that you can't get from other types of tools.
Right, right. I mean, again, time is just a man-made reference. And, of course, spirit sees past, present, and future as one. This helps sort of close the window a little more into a closer window of time.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's all very exciting. Now, how can people get a hold of you, Theo, if they want a private reading? And we have a lot of callers, obviously, waiting to talk to you. And we're going to try to get to as many as we can. But if somebody wants a private reading, how do they find you?
The best way is through Facebook. My page is Psychic Medium Theo. I'm also on Twitter, and that's Psychic_Theo. And you can find my phone number there. And if you do a Google search for Psychic Theo, I'm usually one of the top listed. Or if you just do psychics, I'm usually one of the tops listed for Evansville or Indiana area.
And Theo is just for everybody, just so you want to know how to spell it, it's T-H-E-O. So it's very easy. That's how you can find Theo. Now, you were also involved in some very high-profile investigations. And
yes.
Was there anything there that really took you by surprise when you were involved with that?
Several do stand out. And with EVP, the Evansville Vanderburgh Paranormal Investigations group that I work with, we're a close-knit family. It's a small group. Right now there's four of us, and the leader, Rick Kieber, tries to keep it as a close group for family members, you know, like a small family.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually took some of the high-profile investigations and is writing books about them. One of them is out. It's called Forever Ash, The Witch Child of Hemlock Creek, which is getting good reviews. It's available through Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And
yes, I believe we're going to be having him on the show in a few weeks, too. And that sounded like a very fascinating case.
It is. It is. And it's one that actually that spirit still helps us to this day.
Oh. So
yeah.
It's a positive experience, positive spirit, helpful one.
She became that, yes.
Oh. It was a bit of a transformation then? At first she wasn't?
It was. It was a transformation. And in a way, it helped us create a bond, being a team. Because when we've each had our own little encounters with the spirit. And this investigation actually brought us more together in understanding that it's not just paranormal, that it's not only we're trying to help families here, but also the ones that are in spirit to sort of make amends.
That makes sense. Sure. It's all about healing. So.
Right, right. And part of my purpose when I joined the group, I was actually asked to come in to help with the investigation because of the type of spirit she was, to sort of bring a calmness and help her cross over.
Oh, okay.
And that's how the journey began. And ever since then, because we've helped her, she kind of pops in and says, I'm okay. or if there's other cases dealing with kids, she's usually makes an appearance right before we set out on an investigation or before I accept another case to help somebody else cross over. If there's kids involved, she always makes an appearance.
So she's a team member.
In a way, yes.
Oh, neat.
She, I guess you could say she's a mascot now.
Oh, nice. Well, I'll tell you what, Theo, we have so many people lined up to talk to you tonight, and I know you wanted a break, a little bit of a break right before you take reading. So we're going to do that now. So everybody that's listening and waiting to talk to Theo, just bear with us. We're going to take a short commercial break. And again, the phone number to call in to speak with Theo is 646-478-0828. And stay tuned, everybody. We will be right back.
This is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic One Company. As one of the pioneers of the Organic One movement, since 1980, I have brought you the very best and most authentic organic wines directly to your table. I work with small family estates who grow certified organic grapes and produce exceptional wines. You can purchase our wines individually from our website at theorganicwinecompany.com or join one of our wine clubs. Our organic wines are perfect for you and for your family as gifts for friends and relatives, and they are simply spectacular for the holidays. Visit us at theorganicwinecompany.com to enjoy the very best organic wines conveniently delivered to your door. I am Veronique Raskin, passionate about my mission. I offer to you vegan, organic, and biodynamic wines, wines made by people of the heart, wines with a heart. Au revoir. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Are you ready for a new experience of freedom and powerful connection? Would you like a positive, effortless change in your life? Then come to CosmicFusion.com, where we offer the most advanced energy clearing and expansion techniques in the world, with a quantum vortex energy to activate your divine blueprint and life's purpose. When your soul leads the way with cosmic fusion and quantum vortex energy, you can break clear of past difficulties and blocks with the power of the source. With cosmic fusion, the source energy does the work for you. It's easy and effortless. Listen to our free meditation right from our cosmic fusion website, the Cosmic Code Meditation. Sign up for one of our interactive webinars today. Come to Cosmic Fusion. www.kosmicfusion.com to experience an effortless awakening and transformation. Are you ready for an upgrade? Are you ready for a new experience of living in the fifth dimensional magic and powerful connection? Then visit cosmicfusion.com today. cosmicfusion.com.
Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy Attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here, Patricia Kirkman and myself, tonight with Theo Kostaritis, and he is a psychic and a trance medium. He is going to be doing some readings. Theo, are you ready to go?
I am ready.
You are? Okay, I'm just like going to take these folks here one at a time, and let's see. Okay, we're going to welcome Steve from Norrisport to the show. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me, Patricia.
Yes, yes. So do you have a question or something you'd like to discuss with Theo tonight?
Yes, so, hi, Theo. I had a family member pass away today, and I was wondering if it's possible to communicate.
When somebody passes, they usually don't communicate right away because they're still getting used to being out of the physical body and into energy form.
Okay.
And a lot of times I tell my clients, even when you have somebody pass, it's always nice to wait 3 months before actually seeking a reading. And part of that is because you will have to go through a grieving process and let all the emotions go through.
Okay.
And a lot of times, this person you might want to hear from is not the person that comes in. So let's say you're wanting to talk to Uncle Ben, but Aunt Martha keeps taking the center stage. And if somebody dismisses that information, then you're not being open to who can pop in or who will talk.
I am getting that
there are 3 family members who were with him when he crossed. I'm also feeling that the crossing went well. I'm not getting pain or anything. I was getting more like a quick crossover.
Uh-huh.
And that they're in good hands. And when it's time, and I feel that quite possibly within a month, that you will get the sign you're looking for as to where they're at and how they're dealing with everything.
Okay.
How does that sound?
I greatly appreciate that, and it is extremely, extremely interesting, if not accurate, that you're saying there are 3 people that are with him, 3 family members.
Mm-hmm. Because he wasn't they weren't alone when they crossed. It's like they grabbed hands and walked together.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for your call, Steve.
Thank you, Patricia.
Okay.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Well, that's interesting, Theo. So it does take a bit of time for people when they cross to get accustomed to their new environment.
I believe so, yes. And when I teach my psychic development classes and different other classes, I always look at somebody who crosses or who passes on to the other side. And, you know, people can call it heaven. People can call it the other side. It's wherever the spirit goes. To me, it always feels like it's going off to college.
Huh.
You know, so it's a learning process, and they have to get used to being in a different realm.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody goes off to college, you don't hear from them right away. You might hear from them, you know, after they get settled. And that's what crossing over symbolizes to me from everything that I've encountered with the other side. That's the same image I get. It's like going off to college. And when they get settled in, they'll make it known to the family members that they're ready to communicate.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it, Patricia?
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah, give them a little bit of time.
You think about it, and it does make sense because they have to get balanced as well. You mentioned when you give classes on this, are you able to give, do classes have to be in person, or can you give classes online or at a distance?
I can do them at a distance. I was actually considering sometime this year probably offering either a webinar or classes through Skype, because I've had so many requests from outside areas that I just can't travel to yet due to scheduling constraints, that want to attend classes or be interested in classes.
Well, that
I love Skype. It just makes it so much easier. You can see people, they can see you. You can impart the information. It's great.
It is. And that's how I do seminars at Barnes & Noble, and that's how actually they got started, was because so many people wanted me to do, like, classes or discussion groups. And even now, I still do them at Barnes & Noble. And I get decent crowds, you know, and it's just people that are seeking answers or the right information of where they can start reading to help develop their skills.
Mm-hmm. That's terrific. Well, okay, we have another call here, and this is Rebecca from Texas. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Theo. I've had a sister pass away, and both my folks have passed away. I do communicate a lot with the angels also, but I was wondering if you can see anyone that would like to communicate something to me.
Your sister is stepping through. And the first thing I hear from her is, don't hold yourself back. You tend to go up to a certain level and then you take two steps back. And she wants you to plow ahead because there's a new door that's getting ready to open for you that will actually bridge a lot of your self-doubt and get rid of it almost, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
And I also feel, I don't know if your parents had an argument or were not close toward the end, but I feel like there's like a separation between the two, where there's no communicating between the two. Because it's almost like I see them back to back rather than facing each other.
Well, I know my father had dementia, and my mother passed before him. She exhausted herself taking care of my father. She wouldn't put him in a home or anything. She took care of him, and she just wore herself out. And actually, I'm not really clear what she passed away from, except for, I think...
I'm hearing exhaustion, but I'm also hearing, like, mental strain.
Okay.
You know, like taking on too much too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel they're at peace with each other. It just feels like there was a time where they were at odds with each other.
Right. Yeah, that totally makes sense because they were. The last few years it was really difficult. I mean, Mama was helping, you know, did everything she could for Pop, but it was hard.
And I'm also getting that right before her passing, they never got the closure with each other.
Yeah, I believe that. Pop was sitting there in the room when she passed away, but he didn't. He thought she just. But you know, he had dementia. He thought she just went to sleep. You know.
Right. But, you know, when somebody gets ready to pass and people will try and make their peace with the person, they never got to do that.
Yeah, I believe that. Because
that's what I'm sensing. But, yeah, your sister's on your side, and you need to plow ahead.
Okay.
Great.
Take the challenge. Take the challenge that's going to come up for you within the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
There's a door getting ready to open from the most unlikely source.
Okay. Is it spiritual?
It is part of a spiritual journey, yes.
Okay.
But
exciting stuff.
You'll have a it's going to be word of mouth from somebody that it's not a family member, it's not a close friend, it's from somebody you work with or somebody at work. They're going to say something about a job or a about this endeavor that they're doing, and it's going to be in passing. And within 2 weeks, you're going to take it.
Okay.
But don't be hesitant about it. You tend to second guess yourself a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rebecca, for your call.
Well, thank you so much, Patricia and Theo. Thank you so much for your insight. I really appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Theo, when a person has these feelings that they are, there's something that they can work with, what would you recommend that they start to do first?
With me, the key was being able to go within yourself, getting your grounding, getting your meditation, learning to be at peace with everything around you. And the biggest thing is don't second-guess yourself.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes good sense.
You know, for me, when I first found out I could see spirits, but when I actually knew I could to start communicating with them, it wasn't an easy transition. For me, it's almost like a thought pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like when you had a phone back in the day. I'm gonna date myself here. Back in the day, when you would pick up your landline,
mm-hmm.
and you know the party lines, and then you're talking with a friend, all of a sudden somebody else picks up the phone and goes, "Hey, oh, you're on the phone. Okay." That's what spirit was like for me when I started communicating with them, because I could mm-hmm. be having a conversation with everybody else around me at the dinner table or friends, and all of a sudden another voice would pop in. You know, and I had to, and I started differentiating what was said at the table and who was actually physically there and who wasn't. And the minute you don't self doubt, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, my family was very open minded with it. Even though I didn't show it when I was in school or anything, I kept pretty well. I was like a loner in school, always mm-hmm. to myself, because of that reason. But with that, if you don't second-guess yourself, if you don't doubt what you're getting, then you're more open to understanding that there is a spirit trying to communicate with you. It's kind of like that ringing in your ear that only shows up every so often.
Mm.
And it's
incredible.
And the sound or the words usually will come from your non-dominant side. So if you're right-handed, it would be your left ear. If you're left-handed, it would be your right ear, or your right side would be more sensitive.
Hmm. Well, those are great pieces of information for anybody who's starting out on this path. Excellent.
Definitely yeah. Good information.
Good stuff.
It's that gut feeling.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Theo.
No, it's that gut feeling, that intuition, that when you walk into a room and you know something just isn't right, but you can't put your finger on it, but your stomach starts cramping or butterflies in your stomach, that's
mm-hmm.
usually your intuition letting you know, hey, something's not right here. It's little pieces of information like that that people should not just dismiss, that they should be, well, I wasn't like this a minute ago. What's going on now? What's different?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those are questions my parents would ask me. It's like, okay, what's different? What are you not registering here?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how my mom always did it with me.
You are so blessed. My goodness, your mom, your grandmother, even your dad, I mean, you had such support. And what a difference that makes when you're growing up with that kind of support.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's go on to our next caller. Let's see who we have. Okay, we've got another lady from Texas. We have Caroline in Texas, and she is open to whomever wants to come through. Hi, Caroline.
Hi. I'm nervous. I didn't think I was going to get picked. Hi. My question is pretty open-ended. Either spirit guide that has any input or something that they want to say, or any deceased relatives, because it seems that my kids are hearing things. My son has heard a male voice. My daughter has as well. And I hear stuff piecemeal here and there, but I'm not sensitive. You know, I just hear stuff like anyone randomly, but they hear stuff more regularly. And I just say, oh, you know, I talk about it, and they're open to discuss that with me. So I don't know what they're hearing. Like, is it a relative or maybe someone trying to say hi? I have no idea.
I don't feel it's a relative. I feel it's a male guide. And I want to say that the male guide is more toward your son, that he's trying to work with him more.
Okay.
And what would actually help is next time you sit down with your kids to actually have an open-ended discussion of what conversations they hear, what have they talked with spirit.
Okay.
Because that will actually help them open up and not be so guarded or afraid of what was said.
Oh, yeah, they're not afraid. It's more like confused or they're matter of fact, because I make sure that they can tell me. I'm like, oh, you know, it's normal. I said, don't tell anyone at school, but he can tell me. So, yeah.
Right, right, right. But that way, you know, it helps them discern what actually is taking place during the conversation. And it actually will help you understand what they hear, because eventually you will hear exactly what your son does.
Okay. Yeah.
Next time you hear something, instead of just dismissing it, try and listen in closer.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there's noise going on or if you have the radio on or something, turn it off.
Okay.
And just ask them to repeat it again. And think of it as your hearing being like a telescope where you zoom in and see if that doesn't give you a clearer audio.
Okay. Okay.
Because I do feel that within the next 2 months, and it feels around April, you're going to get a little more sensitive to your environment.
They are? Oh, me or them?
You.
Is there a reason for that? Because, I mean, I'm open to this stuff. It doesn't freak me out. I just kind of,
I think your metabolism is finally going to match the vibration around you.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like a blending. And I just feel that within 2 months, that door will open for you to where you would actually be able to sense more.
It's a middle-aged metabolism. Maybe there's a benefit. I'm kidding. I don't know.
Sometimes
it could be. That's interesting. Oh, so I know I'm not going to take a lot of your time, but I was close to my grandfather, and he passed a long time ago. Like, I was a kid. And is that, like, too far when they've been gone that far? Because I haven't seen him in any dreams or anything. I don't feel like I have any deceased relatives that check in. I don't know. I mean, our family's kind of,
you know. I still feel he checks in. I don't think there was anything left lingering to where they have to hang around.
Okay,
but they do spot checks here and there with all the family members.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah, not everybody that passes comes to people in dreams.
Okay, yeah, I have, like, some, you know, like, I was going for a walk in the cemetery. We were looking at family photos when I went back to visit, and there was a great-grandfather. I really liked the look of him. He looked like a scrappy Irish, you know. I said, I like this guy. He's funny, you know. So I took his photo, and I took it home, and it said we have it up at home. But when we were walking in the cemetery, just to walk through, it's very pretty there, and we see a family stone of his name, and then a family stone of my grandmother who passed away. Like, I just decided, I looked over, I saw his stone, and I saw hers. You know, not their stone, but their family names so close in a huge cemetery. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. So I look at stuff like that. Maybe that's their little, you know,
well,
nod.
Here's what I say to that. That is a nod from them. And I'm one person that doesn't believe in coincidences. I do believe that everything happens for a reason.
Okay, so listen to that, I guess.
And that would be a sign from them.
Cool.
To show you that they are together, even though it was just the family name.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, we're looking at the photos.
I would not hesitate to think that at all. Like I said, I don't believe in coincidences. And when something just happens like that, there's a reason.
Neat. Okay, so it's not just me being like woo-woo.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay, well, I'll pay more attention to my son hearing stuff, and hopefully I'll encourage him. You know, I think that's kind of neat that he has that. I'll try to cultivate it. Well, we already are trying that. But
oh, that's great, Caroline. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Okay, thanks a lot very much. Okay, Bye-bye.
Theo, when people feel that there's somebody around them, or they sense somebody, like they feel that they've just moved past them, or there's somebody off to the side and they turn and there's nobody there, is that a connection with one of their guides or someone from the past?
It is a connection with spirit, yes. Most of the time it will be out of the corner of your eye when you see something move in the house. And then your perception, when I was younger and that happened to me, I would ask, okay, is that a relative or is that my spirit guide? And then if it was my spirit guide, I would get the goosebumps.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
so,
I know.
Or if I asked if it was a family member, I would get the goosebumps then. And that was my body being sort of a relay for my answer.
Interesting. Yeah, because different ones have asked at different times, and you feel that sensation, but you don't really want to believe that it's anything.
Right,
because
right.
There's nothing to validate it.
But sometimes you are your best own validation.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
And a lot of people, and that's what I mean by a lot of people don't take the gut instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Because they try and dismiss it, because most everybody, when they were growing up, were taught to dismiss feelings like that.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And that's even led into other places, not just into the spirit realm, but listening to your gut is important for your own survival, your own safety.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such an important part of your being, and you're right. We've all been told through the years one way or another, unless, I mean, again, you had a rare experience here, but most of us have been discouraged from listening to the inner level of reality. So thank you for bringing that back out to everybody and reminding us all that we need to listen.
That is so true.
Yes.
And that's one thing I do when I do the paranormal investigations. When I enter a building, I don't know the history of it. I don't go researching it. The other team members might do research of where we're going or what building or what family home. I usually, when they talk with the family that lives at the house that we're investigating, I'm usually in the car with headphones on because I don't want to know the history, and I go in there purely on gut instinct and what my spirit guides tell me that's happening.
Oh.
And when I encounter the spirits of the houses we enter, that's when I have a one-on-one communication as to what happened. And I rely heavily on my instincts. And if I get a feeling, hey, you don't belong in here, I tend to follow that path.
Mm. Exactly. Oh, we have another caller here, Theo. Are you ready to take another one?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is Samantha from Springfield, Massachusetts. Hi, Samantha. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Patricia. Hi, Patricia. Hey, Theo.
Hi, Samantha.
So
what's your
question,
Samantha?
Okay, my question is, I went to one of these crystal bed sessions a long time ago, and the gentleman said that I had a lot of energy and spirits around me. Could you possibly elaborate on any of those energies or spirits?
Okay. The crystal bed that you were on actually helped elevate your energy. It's a good boost, and it's also a very centering for you. I'm feeling two male guides. One was, I'm getting Atlantean, and they were considered a doctor in that time. They're also giving you higher reasoning.
Okay.
You understand what I mean by higher reasoning? Okay. It's giving you a broader outlook on things. And it's when you're questioning what's going on around you, it's almost like a light bulb always goes off and gives you the bigger picture.
That's true. I've noticed that.
And that's who this person is. You're more in tune than you realize you are. And there's three more guides that you will be working with over the next several months. So when you do meditations, ask them to come forward and start working with you. Because you're going to start tapping into their energy more.
Okay. So do you think that because I'm in kind of like a shift in my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that they're going to help me, guide me to the path that I need to be on? Like, should I be worried? Because I feel really worried.
You should not be worried. They're actually helping pave the way and making things go smoother for you.
Okay.
You shouldn't. And worry is actually creating a roadblock for you. Once you can overcome the worry and know that you're in good hands, they will actually help things smooth out and work out better for you.
Hmm.
They're there to assist you.
Okay.
But you need to be open to working with them.
So just meditate more?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have any, like, names that I could address them by, or do I just call them spirits?
I don't get names that often of guides.
Okay.
And the reason for that is spirit guides are assigned to you depending on changes in your life. And if you want to call them Sam, they will be known as Sam. If you want to call them the gang, or like I call mine, the council, they will be known as the council. They don't have a set name. Name is just for us to get familiar with their energy. Whatever name you want to call them, they will adhere to that. Now, in rare instances, they will give you their actual names, which could be from different time periods, different worlds, different dimensions.
Okay. Interesting.
Does that answer your question, Samantha?
It totally answers my question. It's very enlightening because I was just in this odd predicament at my work situation, and I was all flustercated, and then all of a sudden, one day I was like, why am I so worried? Why am I so worried? Everything's going to be fine. This is happening because of this. So that, it totally, mm-hmm. like what you said, totally makes sense.
And it's actually going to bring that shift into balance. It's not going to be as chaotic for you.
Okay, that's awesome.
The only reason it's chaotic is because your worry is building up, is building the energy more.
Okay. So I need to stop worrying.
And I know that that's easier said than done, but the minute you can change your point of view, Your perspective changes. It's kind of like the law of attraction. What you put out is coming back to you. So the more positive and the more you can set the intention out there that things will be calm, things will be great, everything around you changes. It's like when you get up in the morning and you're like, oh, I don't want to go to work, and then you just feel like everything is just piling up on top of you. But if you wake up saying, oh, this is going to be a good day, I'm ready to start it, you know, I'm ready to fight the world, let's go. You'll notice that everything is more faster paced and things go smoothly.
Well, worrying's kind of my job. I am a mother, so I don't know how I'm going to get rid of that.
Well, it sounds like a good plan, Samantha.
Yes.
Hang in
well,
there.
Thank
You're getting ready.
Now there's
right,
a reason for your
fun.
Worry right there.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So fun right there.
Well, thank you very much for your call, Samantha.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, worry is a tough one, and like she mentioned, especially for moms or just anybody. I mean, it becomes an energy
sure.
unto itself, doesn't it?
Oh, it
sure
does.
It can take over, and then before you know it, it's spiraling out of control, and you're not just worried about one thing, you're worried about 10 things.
It's that fear factor, the unknown.
That's it, exactly. It's the fear factor. once people can get their fear under control, then nothing is impossible.
Mm. Now, I've heard a suggestion that in place of worry, say a prayer. And that might help to edge out that worry energy and replace it with something positive.
That sounds good.
I believe in that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It can become a bad habit, so we don't want to get into those. So, all right, let's see. Now, I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce this name correctly. It's Banna, I believe, in Indiana, has medical issues. We'd like to talk to you. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And tell me, what is your first name?
Dana.
Dana, okay. I can put B, and it's a D. Hi, Dana. What's your question for CO?
Well, I have a lot of medical things that have gone on, and I just wonder if you see an end coming to them soon, or is this going to go on for a while?
What I'm hearing right now, it's almost over, but you still have a while to go. It won't clear up till about December.
Okay.
Part of it is you're not ready to let go of the past. There's issues in your past that you need to make amends with,
mm-hmm.
that you haven't confronted yet. And it's dealing with a female member of the family.
Okay. I better figure that out.
But you will get a handle on it, and I would say you're going to start feeling relief around December.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Did that answer your question, Dana? Or did you have another question for Theo?
Well, a side question, my nephew committed suicide a few months ago, and I just wondered if Theo can see him yet, or does he come through at all or not?
He's not ready to talk yet. But he is around family.
Mhm. Okay.
It wasn't premeditated.
Okay.
Meaning that it's not something he thought long about doing. It's almost like he got the thought and did it. I do feel, though, that, knowing how things turned out, he wishes he can go back, but he
mm-hmm.
can't. But it's not something that he was planning on doing for a long time. It's just the thought came to him, he did it.
Okay. Thank
Look
you.
Look for signs in a month and a half.
Look for what?
Signs in a month and a half, middle of March, you should see signs
okay.
from him.
Okay. I will be doing that.
And this is in particular, I don't know who's the gardener in the family, but this is in particular to gardening. There's going to be a different type of flower than is planted showing up in the yard.
Okay.
And that's the sign that he will give. But it's whoever is the gardener in the family, that's who he's going to make the first appearance to.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome.
Well, Dana, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
And good
Bye-bye.
Luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, that's an interesting question, Theo, about suicide. When you talk to spirits that have made that choice, do you find anything that's similar with them across the board? I know you mentioned this person wished he could go back, but he can't. Do you find that a lot?
I do, actually, with a lot of suicides. Most of the time, the ones that I've encountered, they feel like they're out of touch, or that no one was listening to their cry or hearing them. They felt like they were very alienated. it's a Grecian thing, okay? they just feel like they're alienated from, and it's not nothing to do with peer pressure or anything. They just feel like they're thrown aside.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
so
they don't have a connection anymore.
They feel
right. But once they cross over, it's like, wait, I haven't finished my life's path.
Oh, you know, boy. So
they have this need that they have to come back. But then some, when they do commit suicide, you know, that ends this cycle. They finish their life's path that they had to this time around, and they're ready for the next one. But
so,
9 out of 10 times, they all want to come back right after they cross over because they're thinking, oh, what have I done? And that's when it sinks on them because then they have to linger around relatives because, oh, now they're going to miss me or there's unfinished business here.
Yeah, the people left behind, they really suffer with suicide, whether it's a relative or a friend. It's tremendously
mm-hmm.
unsettling. And obviously the people that are left behind in this always question themselves, could I have done something to make a difference in this? So,
right. And most of the time it's nothing that they've done, and there wasn't anything they could have stopped from happening either.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of it is they need to recognize what's happened, not only the spirit, but the family members that are left behind as well, because there's all that unfinished business. And the one thing is they can't hold anybody accountable. They can't blame anybody. They shouldn't blame each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a tough thing, I think, especially for parents or even siblings who,
mm-hmm.
who go through something like this. But certainly it is interesting that a lot of the suicides you've talked to do wish they could go back and change it.
Do you think
yes.
that at times that someone will attempt suicide more because they're trying to get attention and they're doing it, but they really don't intend to do it, and then they accidentally do the very thing that they're anticipating?
Some of it is that. You know, and on the other hand, you also have the ones that commit suicide because they've been bullied into it.
Yes, that's so sad.
You know, so that you have to take that into consideration too. But a lot of it is because they don't have the belief in themselves that, hey, I can overcome this.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So that's really the sticking point, that they don't think they can overcome it. They just see it as a stopping point.
Right.
Sad.
Yeah, fascinating, though. I mean, you're giving so much insight to this whole experience, and it's a tough one for people.
It is tough, and that's the same thing with no matter who passes or how they pass, everybody has to go through the grieving process. You know, you're going to have time where you're happy, you remember the memories, you're good about it. You're going to have the times that you want to, you know, be upset and be angry with a person for dying and leaving you behind. You're going to have the sadness. You're going to go through the whole stream of emotions, even to the point where you attack yourself, then you attack the people, you know, beside you that were there to help you. And that's another reason why I tell people when you have somebody pass, give yourself at least 3-4 months before trying to seek a medium or trying to get answers to why they're passing, because you have to go through that arc of emotion.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yes, absolutely. Now, I do have a question for you, Theo, from the chat room. Somebody wrote
okay.
in, and they wanted to know about when they have a scent come to them, particular smell that appears. Is that somebody trying to contact them?
Yes.
And
yes,
a lot of
I
times people will talk about flowers, roses, different things like that
mm-hmm.
that come out of nowhere.
Well, I've been in a building when I was studying through metaphysics and to become a metaphysic minister and everything, that the building we were at, there was it was haunted, and you would smell cigar, but nobody there smoked the cigar. But you would go through this one hallway, and you would always get the fragrance of the cigar. So I do believe that they do send messages through scent. And there's times that I would walk into an investigation where I would actually get the taste of tobacco in my mouth.
Wow.
And I do feel that spirit would use anything to get your attention, and they would use any of your senses, be it feeling, touch, taste, smell.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, if you're open to it and that's something that you can perceive, it makes sense that they would take that route with you.
Mm-hmm. And some people are more prone to pick up scents than listening to spirit. It just depends which scent they're more open to picking up around spirit.
Mm-hmm. Does it open the door
the
so that when...
pick up the feeling. Sorry.
When you start to smell something like that, like when you were investigating the haunting and you smelled the cigar smoke, did you feel like that kind of opened the door for this whole experience of whomever was there?
Yes, because it helped me pinpoint where they were.
Uh-huh, okay.
Even when they moved around, you kind of knew where they were because basically you could follow the scent.
Uh-huh, that's great.
What about feathers? I've had people ask me that they keep finding feathers in places.
Ah, the old feather thing. That, I believe, is... There's two ways I view that. One, I can see it as your guardian angels, you know, dropping signs saying, hey, here's a message from spirit, or a Native American spirit guide saying, here's the answer, we're around you, take time out, get centered, find the truth. Because usually, and you will find feathers when there's pivotal moments in your day's activity, or if there's a transition coming up in your life, you will find feathers in the most oddest of places.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to find them in my car seat all the time.
I was just thinking of the car seat.
And the windows were rolled up, and feathers couldn't just get in a closed car.
That is amazing.
That's exactly
and that was before
what
I moved to Indiana, so.
My goodness. It's an adventure in and of itself, finding feathers like that in your closed car. My goodness. Well, we have another caller, and this is one of your fans, Theo. This is Taylor in D.C. She has gotten a reading from you before, and once more because she says you're always right. So, Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. My pleasure to be here. I was just telling you in when I talked to you for a minute that Theo had given me a reading in 2011 that said that we were going to move from what we called our forever home and that I would be getting a new job, and he didn't even know that I had an interview, and I actually hadn't even applied for the job. They had headhunted me, and I was sure that everything he was saying was just so untrue because there's no way this would all happen. And within 3 months, everything he said to a T came true, and yeah, now we're living in D.C. So I just wanted to call and let everybody know he is on point. So take what he says. And I don't know. You have anything else for me, Theo?
Well, let's put it this way. Well, thank you for the great words. And one thing I do want to let people know is I do not remember my readings after I pass the message along. I just don't. So it's nice that you can remember what I said and can actually repeat it to me because I don't remember. But what I see coming up for you is the shakeup is almost done. There's going to be another transition coming up, and it's going to be on the job scale. I do feel there's a promotion, and I feel it's a different company you're going to switch to. But it's actually going to give you a more lenient schedule. You'll be more in control of your time, and it will give you more family time as well.
Okay.
But,
Taylor, you don't sound very excited about this.
Because the last time you said that, it happened. Like, oh, goodness.
But I do feel there's going to be a more close-knit stitch with family. I feel you're going to get closer with family again.
Awesome. When
not just your immediate family. I'm talking about like siblings and parents and everything. There's going to be something that brings you all closer together. Because I feel like a couple of your siblings have like drifted apart. Everybody's coming back together.
That's very true. Okay. Wow.
The worst part's going to be February. If you can make it through February, you'll be fine.
Okay.
And I think you know what I mean by February, so.
Yeah. Okay. As far as the job thing, when do you do that?
I'm getting around March 20th.
All right.
But again, everybody has free will. So just because the opportunity comes up, if you don't take it, it's just going to delay it for a little while longer. But I feel this is something you're going to take regardless. You're almost ready for a change, but you don't think you are.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, I think, right? Taylor, thank you so much for your call.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck with all the changes coming up.
Thank you.
Change is a tough one. I know it is for me. Patricia Kirkman always tells me, embrace the change.
Exactly. Keep breathing.
No.
Keep breathing.
Everybody hates change. I'm one of the people that actually income. I look for change. I love change. I hate being stagnant.
Really? That's really great.
That's marvelous.
Yeah. I know there's a lot you can teach people about that one
whole
thing
life is
right
based
there.
On change.
Yeah, well, life is change, but again, we all lots of us resist it. It's tough, you know. But
no, because you look for guarantees instead.
That's right. You want the guarantees.
That's right. I want to see the good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes
you have
to make your guarantees. You know, you have to step out and just once you're willing to accept what life has in store for you, so many doors can open without you even realizing that they're there.
Well, you have a very beautiful energy, Theo. It's very gentle. It's very focused. I mean, you know, Patricia and I are sitting here listening to how you're talking with people, and it's very open-hearted. I mean, clearly, again, you came in with this gift, but your family really nurtured you through it, and it's wonderful because you're able to nurture other people in the same way. So nice.
And that's
very
what
definitely.
I hope to do. You know, even when I teach classes or when I do my seminars, if I can make one person understand the gift they have and who they really are and not feel that they're, you know, second rate or that they're lost, then I know I have achieved what I set out to do.
Oh, nice.
Very definitely.
Yes. Well, we've got a few more callers here. Let's see if we can fit some of them in. Let's go to Stephanie in Wisconsin, it looks like. Stephanie says she has a husband with terminal cancer, would like to know what's next for her. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hi, longtime fan, first-time caller. Thanks, girls.
Oh, that's great. What's your question for Theo? Is it about what's coming next for you?
Yes, Theo. I see, you know, many forks in the road going ahead after my husband's passing, which is very soon. And I really like to have some direction.
The first thing I'm getting for you is take your time. You don't want to rush anything.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you might be ready for what's coming up, you're really not.
Mm-hmm.
And allow yourself and be gentle with yourself to have that low period.
Because
once you do that, then you're actually being more gentler to yourself to open new doors that are coming up.
Okay.
It's going to be it's going to be a rough 2.5 years. And
yeah.
you just have to, you know, plug along the best you can and rely
mm-hmm.
on friends to help you through.
Okay.
Because by doing that, you will actually allow yourself to sort of be reborn and actually expand your wings and be able to do whatever your heart's desire is. But you have to allow yourself to go through the low period. And you're trying to build up yourself and be the fighter and be the strong one. And it's okay to break down.
Yeah.
Because you need that to, think of it as a phoenix rising. You have to die and then start over again.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've been bearing the weight of all of it. Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to sort of break down and release that. Because once you release that, you gain your inner strength. And then you can create a vision board and hit any plateau you dream of.
Mm-hmm.
And I see you actually being a speaker on everything you've dealt with and actually helping others. You're going to become a spokesperson for them as to how to deal with it and how to get to the next level. I see you sharing your story.
Good. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Stephanie, thank you so much for your call, and good luck with everything.
Thanks. Thanks, girls.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Theo. Take care.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It's hard for others to understand until they have walked through something similar,
mm-hmm.
except to know that you'll survive it. At times you won't
right.
feel it, but you will survive it.
That's true. Being a widow myself, I've learned to actually know how to describe dealing with grief a lot better because of that. And I know how it is to be the strong one for everybody, and then when nobody sees, to actually be the lump on the floor.
Mm. Yes.
You know, that's why I tell everybody you need to go through the entire emotional arc, because in a way, by releasing it, you actually allow new energy to come in. If you repress it and try and say, no, I'm not going to feel this, the volcano will eventually erupt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that is so true.
Yeah,
you can't escape it.
Many times people are fearful of crying because they feel that shows weakness. I think
and actually, I believe to cry shows you more strength.
That's
exactly.
Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
exactly what I was going to ask, because that's what I felt.
Yes, absolutely. It's a tough thing to walk through, but it, you know, there's nothing like death that carves you out from the inside, and it does make you go deep within yourself. So we certainly wish the best for Stephanie and what she's walking through, and we want her to know that we've walked through it ourselves. Even you, Theo, just mentioned it. So
mm-hmm.
it's something that she may feel like she's alone, but she's got plenty of company. And I do hope that she
Very
will,
true.
As you suggested, which is a great suggestion, rely on friends, you know, really call in that support
mm-hmm.
network to help you through.
And that's very helpful for your friends as well, because they feel at a loss because they don't know what to do. And if you give them an opportunity to participate, that will help them through it as well.
That's so right, yeah. That's a great one.
Very much
Patricia.
So, yeah.
Yeah, very good. So let's see. We've got a couple more. Let's see if we can squeeze these ladies in. We've got Trish in Connecticut. Has a lot of projects, wants to know her finances in these areas. Trish, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Hi, Theo. As Patricia said, a lot of projects this in 2015, and just kind of looking for some insight into my finances.
The first thing I'm getting is you need to prioritize which one do you want to complete first. Otherwise, you'll have several that will just linger and not be fully complete. And by focusing and doing one project at a time, you'll actually, your finances will be in the same shape. And okay. It's the one that's closest to your heart that you should do first, and that's the one that's going to bring you the biggest return back.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, and the one that you hold dearest will be the one that gives you you'll get more money from it.
Okay, so you don't see me having any issues financing these projects?
No, and especially if you prioritize and do one at a time instead of three or four at a time, because then it's going to become a juggling game.
Okay. One of the reasons I asked is I'm on the fence about staying where I am in my current job or switching.
You're going to switch. And that's probably going to be in about a month, by May. Early May is what I'm saying. Late April, early May.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I kind of figured.
You've already started that road, and you're already starting to close the door. You may not realize it yet, but I'm feeling the door is starting to close.
Yeah, no, you're right. I have. I've kind of made up in my mind. It's just a matter of doing it.
When the time is right, you'll do it. And I'm seeing early May. You might actually do it before then, but I'm seeing early May.
Okay. I know you have another caller, so I'll go, but thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good luck. Thank you, Trish, for your call.
Thank you.
Take care, and good luck with your projects. So let's see if we can squeeze these two people in. Let me see. We've got, okay, Debbie in Massachusetts. General question for you. Let me get Debbie on the line, Theo. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello to everyone. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
Just general, you know, what do you see for me? It's been a bad day. My car died.
Oh, no.
Give yourself some time to breathe, and don't rush around. I feel like you're constantly on the move, always on the go, 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 go. You don't know what it's like to stand still. Once you stand still, you'll be able to focus on things around you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, one of the reasons the car stopped is so you can actually be in the moment and not having to rush from A to B real quick. Mm-hmm. Pace yourself, and
okay.
you will learn patience soon, because there's going to be a shift, kind of like somebody pulling the rug from under you, and you have to be able to go with the flow and not freak out. You have a tendency to overreact with things.
Is this work-wise that the rug's going to be pulled out?
Yes.
In a bad way?
Not in a bad way, just in an unexpected way. It's going to happen sooner than you think it was going to happen. But there is a new job that you will start that you will actually like better. And I almost see you working from home with it.
That would be interesting.
There's going to be a shift in the next 2.5 weeks.
Okay. Thank
just
you.
Go with the flow. Just
sounds
slow
like
down
something.
And go with the flow.
Something's going to change.
Yeah, and gives her time to prepare and be ready to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Buckle
Thank
your
you.
Seatbelt.
Have a good day.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Debbie. Thanks for your call.
Yep. Bye bye.
Okay, and one last one. Let's see, we've got Danielle in Illinois has a career question for you, Theo. Hi, Danielle. Welcome to the show.
Hi, ladies. Thank you. How are you doing, Theo?
Hi. What's your question?
My question is just, what do you see for me as far as a career-wise? Do you see any moves or shifts coming for me?
I don't at the time. I feel everything's going to start leveling out better for you and having more control over things, and I do feel finances settling.
Okay.
I do feel not this year, but next year, you'll start either looking into having your own company or doing your own work. But I don't feel you opening your own place till next year. It's like this year, it's like you're just going to toy around with the idea. But
that's
next year is when you're actually going to start. Next year is going to be more of your look at me phase. This year it's
okay.
Like all planning. This is like the time where everybody withdraws, and that's what I'm getting with you is you're going to be more withdrawn this year. And
okay.
Then next year it's like look at me, look at the changes I've made.
Okay.
It's just around April is when you're going to start really thinking of what you really want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just going like everybody else, you know, day in, day out, you're going to start testing the waters with different things.
Okay.
But I do feel around September is when your finances are going to start getting better.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. That's really the only question that I have to say about, you know, my career-wise and finances.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, this year, like I said, I just feel it's going to just wait it out, and then next year is really your year to shine.
Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you for your call, Danielle.
Thank you, ladies. Have a good night.
You too. Well, Theo, this has just been so delightful to have you on the show and all the wonderful direction that you gave to people tonight. It's so appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, please
wonderful.
Tell everybody again how they can get a hold of you, because I'm sure there will be people that we couldn't get on the show tonight but would like a private reading with you or would perhaps like to sign up for one of your classes.
Okay. The best way to reach me is through Facebook. It's Psychic Medium Theo. I'm also on Twitter, Psychic_Theo. I'm also on Google+. I forgot to mention that earlier. I'm on Google+ as Theo and Kostadivis. I also have an IMDb page. They can reach me there. My phone number is listed on my Facebook pages as well. And classes, you can do a search for Psychic Theo, and it'll bring you up locations. I do readings here locally at a New Age shop called the Beat Angel. I do classes there as well, and you can pull up their web page as well, and there's a listing of all their services and everything. And usually my classes are announced there. Or if you go to Barnes & Noble website for store events and type in Evansville, Indiana, you can see when my seminars are listed and posted there as well.
Terrific. Now, Theo, I have to ask you before we let you go tonight, are you going to be doing a book? I mean, it sounds like you have so many wonderful things to share with people.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because me and the EVP leader, Rick Kieber, were actually discussing doing a memoir or helping me write my memoir. But I kind of got into a new venture of producing and telling my story through independent films, which is what I'm working on now. I kind of started a new chapter, so I'm not quite ready to share my story completely yet, but I do think in maybe a year or two have it out in print.
Oh, goodness. Well, that would be great.
In the meantime, it probably will be in movie form first.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's okay, because, you know, we've turned into a whole generation of people who like to watch TV and films and YouTube and everything else, so that's perfect. But we would love to have you come back and, you know, whenever you want to also promote any of your film projects or your book, when you get around to that, we'd love to have you back, Theo. This has been a terrific and a very, I don't know how to describe it, Patricia. Give me the word. It's just been a very insightful,
fabulous.
And deep. Yes, fabulous.
Fabulous.
Evening.
Absolutely fabulous. Very
well,
informative.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Theo.
And I look forward to being back on the air.
Well, thank you. You're quite talented and just a wonderful, wonderful person. And we're so grateful that you could take some time to spend with us and our audience tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
So, Patricia, another wonderful show has come to an end. I hate to end these shows because they're just so,
I do too,
so fabulous, as you said.
It has. It's been very informative. And I know that he's allowed others to walk away tonight after the show with hope and positive feelings about what's coming up for them.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And that's so important when we all walk through the things we walk through. We need some guidance. And Theo is just absolutely terrific tonight in giving that guidance to everybody. So we got to have him plan to come back, that's for sure.
Definitely. Definitely.
And we do have this this ghost story that he mentioned that has to do with the Evansville Vanderburg Paranormal Society. That is going to, we're going to have that author in a few weeks. So we're going to have ghost stories coming up. We're going to have lucid dreaming and all the latest on that. We've got a lot of great shows coming up in February. So everybody keep signing up for that newsletter. Join in on Wednesday night, 7:30 to 9:00. And be safe, be warm, and we'll be talking with you next week. Good night, Patricia.
Good night, Patricia.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another radio adventure with